Malachi chapter 3, 6 through 12. I want to tell you that I was minding my own business this week, and I was planning on starting the Ghost of Christmas Past this Sunday, and the Lord plopped this word right in front of me. And he said, preach it now. And I was like, but God, I can wait. He said, no, preach it now. And I want to tell you, this is an uncomfortable message to preach. I heard this message and got the principles from Pastor Jerry Dearman. Many of y'all know Pastor Jerry, who we absolutely love. He is the founder of our Operation Solid Lives discipleship program. So I was listening to his message this week, and this just came. And I said, God, I don't want to teach it because it's hard. And God said, it might be hard, but it's for now. It's for this church, and the people need to hear this. And I said, but God, it's not a fun word. It's not exciting. It's not, matter of fact, it's one of those kinds of words that I try to avoid. And God said, I don't care. I called you to preach the word. So I want to tell you, this might not be one of them shouting messages. So I hope you shouted enough during worship, because this is a tough one. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Some of y'all are already like, I know what she about to talk about. Those of you who've been in the church, you hear Malachi chapter 3, you're like, mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I don't like to talk about this topic, but God said, let's go. So I got you. Ready? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 12. I want you to find that in your Bibles. The title of my message today, and this is why this is so important, is The Process of Releasing Supernatural Provision. The process for releasing supernatural provision. How many of you want God to provide supernaturally for you? No, I'm not just talking about, Lord, provide my needs. I'm talking about supernatural, where it's exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. How many of you want that? Okay, some of y'all scared to raise your hands because you know something's going to be required of you. Right. Well, today I'm going to give you a step-by-step process on how to release that so that supernatural provision can come for you. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, take them, hold them high in the air. Let's read our Bible affirmation together. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Malachi 3, 6 through 12. Let's read that together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. For the sake of us reading together, let's all make sure we're reading from one version. Amen. All right, let's read. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, woo, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Father, thank you so much that we got our monthly reading in. Thank you, Father God, for this word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move me aside, that you would come in, that you would speak to each and every heart. Lord, show us this process to releasing supernatural provision in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Now, some of you are like, oh, I know that scripture. You're about to talk about money. So the process is I tithe and that's it. I'm going to tell you something. That's not the process. That's not the full process. I'm going to show you the full process. I'm going to show you step by step what you need. Because some of y'all are sitting here like, oh, she's just about to talk about tithing. And people get so mad when you start talking about tithing in the church. But I want to tell you something. Tithing is not about what you are going to give to God. Tithing is all about what God is trying to give to you. And if you'll keep that mindset as we study this, it will change the way you look at this passage. People who tithe are like, amen. You know why they said amen? Because they like, yep, because God's about to do something. People who don't tithe, they're like, I don't like this message. And the reason is because I don't want to give up what I have. But I want you to know, if you'll understand this principle and see the process, you will see God bring revelation and bring supernatural things in your life. Stuff you can't even explain. You don't even know how it's going to happen, how it's going down. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a principle that my mother taught me when I was a little girl. And it has stayed in my life since I was probably about 10 when we would be on our way to church. And my mother would say, take my checkbook, because I know y'all don't give checks no more. My mother would say, take my checkbook and write out my tithe. And I would be like, well, what's that? And she told me, I could sign her name, by the way, at 10. That's not a gift. That's a problem. But she would let me sign her name on her checkbook. And I would say, well, Mom, how much do you want me to write it for? And she would tell me the amount, and I would be in awe. I would say, you giving the church that much money? And my mother said, I'm not giving the church that, I'm giving God that. So I was a little girl, and even to the point when I was 16 years old and I got my first job, I was making, y'all don't want to hear this, I was making $4.25 an hour. And that was minimum wage, and that was some good money. Y'all over here mad, talking about I ain't getting but $12. $12? I made $4.25. When I got my first check, you know what my mother said to me? She said, now how much belongs to God? So I was taught this at a young age. And I pray, and I'm glad our children are in here, because I want our children to understand this. If they'll get this principle, it will revolutionize your entire life. All right, so this passage is so powerful because this passage is talking about the Lord and his people. The people had walked away from God. And they start talking to him, and God is telling them about the things they've done wrong. By the time we get to this verse in chapter 3, God says, look, I don't change. Let me clear my throat. God says, I don't change. So God's principles that existed in Old Testament, God's principles that existed when Jesus came, God's principles that existed, they all the same because God don't change. So when you read this, I don't want you to think this doesn't apply to me today because I'm in 2018. No, let me tell you something. God does not change. And he says, look, I'm trying to tell you I don't change. So the problem that we're having is not that I moved. The problem we're having is that you moved. So let me help you. He says, return back to me. Come to me. And the people are like, well, how do we come to you? And you would think God is like, get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and seek me. Get on your knees. No, he don't say that. He said, you know how you should return to me? He says this. He continues by saying, will a man rob God? He says, you can't return to me because you're robbing me. And they was like, well, how are we robbing you, God? We would never do such a thing. He said, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. So I want to show you this revelation. God sees our tithes and offerings like this. God says, I am your provider. I know you work for a company. I know somebody else put a check in your account. But when the money hits your account, he says, you need to know I provided 100% of that. And Leviticus 27:30 says this, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or fruit, is the Lord's. All the tithe is the Lord's. Somebody say all is the Lord's. All the tithe is the Lord's. So when the money hits your account, because see now, it used to be used to get a check, and then you take your check, you go to the bank and you cash it, but we so fancy now, you don't even get checks no more. You just wake up and boom, you got cash. That's the best invention ever, direct deposit. Praise God for direct deposit. Watch this. So when the money hits your account, God is like, 10% of that's mine. It doesn't become his when you give it to him. It's already his. So he says, if you're not going to give me back 10%, then you just robbed me. That's like somebody saying, hold $10 for me. And you go spend that $10. And when they come back, they say, I want my $10. You're like, I ain't got it. You just robbed them. So when God pays you your income and you get money into your account, y'all ain't hearing me, and 10% of that, God is like, that's mine. Just give it back to me. Now, most of y'all are saying, oh, they probably preaching this message because church need money. Let me tell you something. I praise the Lord that this is the first time in this church's history that we have not been struggling financially. We are blessed. We are exceedingly and abundantly blessed. Now watch this. So I'm not doing this so we can get more of your money. I'm doing this so God can do something for you. Because I want to see God increase supernaturally provision in your life. So don't be sitting here with an attitude like, she trying to get a new car. And I am going to get a new car next year. But guess what? It ain't coming from your tithes. Just letting you know, I'm going to get me something nice. Like, Pastor, why are you going to get yourself a new ride? You got a perfectly good ride. Because God has blessed me. Because he's blessed me and I can pay cash for it. Y'all ain't hearing me. I'm going to go get me something. Y'all don't like it. That's all right. That's all right. Oh, Pastor rolling up a new car because she preached that message. It is not because I preached this message. She said it might be. I'll give you that. It could be. She said you get exceedingly and abundantly blessed too. That's true. That's true. The blessing on me too. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But what I'm telling you is this is about God doing something for you. And God is saying, look, some of us have been robbing God blind. And he said, it's time to stop. If you spent the 10%, you robbed God. Now, it doesn't come like, well, I give him the 10%, so that belongs to him. He's like, no, it hit your account, gave it to you, 10% already belongs to me. If you want to honor him, then you give it to the Lord. When you don't bring it, you rob him. This is the way God sees this. Not that the tithe, now, the offering is different. I'm talking about the tithe. Offering is what you choose to give above and beyond the 10%. Now, I want to show you that this passage is not written so that God is trying to get his needs met. Let's just make it clear. God don't have a need that we can meet. God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He made the universe. Watch this. So supernatural provision is not about you giving so God can have stuff. Let me tell you, we often even teach that you need to give so that the church can function. And that's important. But let me tell you something. God can bless the church whether you give or you don't give. And I think you need to know that. That it's not like I'm giving to the church, and if I don't give to the church gonna fall apart. Look, I'm giving to God. Even though I'm getting it and putting it into the offering plate, I'm giving it to God. Watch this. God has no needs. He is the resource provider. God, your Father, feeds all the birds of the world each and every day. You know how many birds there are in this world? All the different species of birds, all the different kinds of birds that exist, and every single one of them, he provides food for them. And the Bible says, are you not more valuable than those little birds? So look, God don't need your money. What he wants is for you to honor him so that he can provide supernaturally for you. When he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, God was like, look, I want this process to happen so that all of the people of God will bring their whole tithe. Somebody say whole tithe. So that it would supply the resources for the house. Now, I want to explain this to you, and I have backed away from teaching this because I've always been kind of like, God, I don't want people to think I'm trying to take their money. And God's like, you know what? You've been messing the people up. But because you haven't been teaching them about this principle, what's been happening is you've been stifling the blessing that I'm trying to release over them. So I got to teach it. Let me show you this principle. Now, there were 12 tribes in Israel, right? And let's say, even though this is not the case, let's say that each tribe equally had the same amount. They were each supposed to give 10%. So for the sake of math, because my mind is mathematical, I said, God, I need to run some numbers. If there are 12 tribes, that means that, you know, each of them gives 10%. But God says, look, I'm going to take one of those tribes, just the tribe of Levi, I'm going to put them over the house. They don't have their own land. They don't have their own business. They don't go have their jobs. Their job is to take care of the house of God. He says, now, if you'll take care, they take care of the house of God, all the tithes that come in is supposed to be to cover them. Now, I was like, okay, that makes sense. And so if you think about it, I was like, all right, God, that's cool. But there's 11 tribes. And God says, no, there's not 11 tribes because Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and God made each of them their own tribe. So we're back to 12 tribes plus the Levites. Now, let's say every tribe had $1 million. Now, we know that every tribe is not equal, but let's just theoretically put this out there. And every tribe gave 10%. How much is 10% of a million? Some of y'all are like, I don't know. $100,000. Let me help you. $100,000. So if 12 tribes give $100,000, how much does the tribe of Levite have? 1.2 million. 120%, which is more than enough. You got to catch this. We've been playing the house of God. God has brought enough folks in this church to supply the resources of this church. Watch this. And if you will give your 10%, there'll be more than enough for the house. You see stuff that needs to be fixed around here? Stop looking around talking about who gonna do it and say, did I give what God called me to give? Because there's supposed to be more than, y'all, we missing it. There's supposed to be more than enough. God always plans for more than enough. We need to have a heart for the house of the Lord. There are so many people who are caught up about money and being self-centered and that we don't care about God's house. That's why I was so blessed by all the people who came and volunteered yesterday. Because they were saying, I care about God's house. There's so many people who don't care about the house of the Lord that we say, look, I just want to give as little as I can. Lord, what's the bare minimum that I can give? You know why we think bare minimum? Because we don't have a heart for the house of God. He says, do this that there may be food. He not only tells you what to do, but he tells you why to do it. The ministry of the Lord should be well provided for. We ought to have extra. Look, let me ask you this question. Don't you want extra? Then why shouldn't God and God's house have extra? If you are thinking, I want extra, but I don't want them to have an extra, that's a scarcity mentality. That's a poverty mentality. Look, there's no shortage of funds. God is a big God. Now, I want to tell you something. When you see Malachi 3:6 and 3:10, you shouldn't be depressed. You ought to get excited because God is about to show you how to get your needs met. Watch this. Malachi 3:10. I ain't even got to the fun stuff. That's just all background. Ready? Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. God is a manager. And God is saying, this is the way I will provide for my house. If you don't bring it in, God's still going to provide. We established that, right? Now, I want to show you this. Watch this. If you don't have it in your Bibles, on your app, on your phone, look at the screen because I want you to see these words for yourself. I want to prove to you this is about you. You ready? And try me. Now, when I say that, I get it with an attitude. Try, test me. I think that's what God says. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. I want you to think about the incongruency of this. You, one person out of 7 billion people on the earth, bring only 10% of the little income that you and I make. One person, 10% of the income that we have. And God says, and I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'm lavishing you with all that heaven has. All we talking about is your 10%. That sounds very lopsided on your side, don't it? And God says, try me. Try me, boo. Test me, boo. He has the audacity to say, try me. You know why? Because he knows he is going and he's confident and faithful that he will do what he said he's going to do. God is confident that he's going to come on and test me. Come on and try me and watch and see what I do for you. You're worried about 10%. I'm trying to open the windows of heaven over you for you. Oh, you don't like that? Watch this. I'm about to prove it to you. Watch this and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Check this part out. And pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough. You ain't going to even have space enough to hold everything that God is trying to release to you. Yeah, y'all don't like this. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for you and for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. That means your work in your hands. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you, says the Lord Almighty. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be the delight of the land. Do you not see how this passage is about what God's trying to do for you, and you stuck on the tithe? Look, this passage ain't got nothing to do with what you can do for God. It has everything to do with what God is trying to do for you. It's not trying to teach us how to get God's needs met. It's trying to teach us how to get our needs met. And not just met, but met abundantly. I'm trying to help you understand God's on your side and he wants to help you. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something else. That here's where we start to get where this process comes. Pastor Jerry told us a story. He read an email, and I was going to read it word for word. I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. This guy wrote a testimony to Pastor Jerry, and I thought it was so powerful, and it sets the stage for what God is talking about. I want to share it with you. He said, look, I want to share with you our testimony. Our family always wanted to tithe, but due to a large amount of debt we had accumulated, we didn't have the ability. After listening to your podcast on tithing, we stepped out on faith in May and gave our full 10%. This was a big step because we didn't have enough money to cover our bills. But I was convicted. What better time than when my worldly mind was in conflict with the word? We prayed each night after we gave our tithe for provision and thanked God for 2 rebate checks for $75 that provided just enough money for needed gas and groceries. Let me tell you something. When you get excited about a $75 rebate check, you're struggling. Come on, somebody. He said, one day after receiving the 2 rebate checks, we received a completely unexpected check for $100,000. Less than a week after giving our full tithe, our lives were changed forever. All of our debt was eliminated. The debt that I was forecasting to be paid off in 2 years and that we had been paying on for more than 10 years was cleared in less than a week. He said, we have no doubt that this blessing was from God. We were able to bless our church and tithe on that money. We pray that we will be honored to tithe like that in the future, and we have continued to tithe ever since. Come on. Now let me show you the process that was used, because I ain't even got to the process yet. Most people think when God's going to release supernatural provision, they're thinking money. Like this guy got a check for $100,000. We're thinking God's going to release cash. But I want to show you how does it come to you. Most of the body of Christ don't know how it comes. Let me tell you, if somebody walked up to you, if God's provision walked up to you with a red shirt that said God's provision is on it, half of us wouldn't know it was God's provision. We wouldn't recognize it because all we keep looking for is a check. If you tithe and you're looking for a check, we got a problem. Because we think money solves our problem. But I want to show you something. Money is not the solution to your problem. Yeah. So much so that you're looking for money, you miss provision. Yeah, let me show you. Watch this. Malachi 3:10. Put it up on the screen because I want to show it to you. Oh, I'm trying to get this. This is so good. My heart is just bubbling. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such dollars. Does it say dollars? Such pesos, for those of y'all from Mexico. Such euros, if you're from Europe. That's not what it says. The Bible doesn't say, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such money. Our society has trained us that provision is money, but that is not what God says. People are thinking money is going to rain down when I give my tithe, and then you get stressed out because you don't see a check and you're having problems with that. But the Bible never says, see if I'll not throw open the windows of heaven and throw money on top of you. Some of y'all are trying to let it and be like, God, make it rain over me, make it rain. Hoping dollar bills just be flying in the air over you. That is not what God is saying. Now, this word, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. This word blessing is the Hebrew word baraka. God says, I'm going to pour out such baraka on you. This is the same word that he used with Abraham when he says, I will barak or bless you, and you shall be a baraka or blessing. Now, in our society, money is the God and money is the answer. But in the kingdom of God, money is not your answer. God is. To solve your financial issue is not a problem for God. In fact, solving your financial problem is easy for God. God's challenge is trying to get us to learn and to grow how to handle things like kings and queens of the kingdom of God. So God sets the system up to provide for us supernaturally so that we will grow up in our ability to understand and to handle what God is trying to do. So God says, if you'll test me, if you'll tithe, see if I will not throw the windows of heaven open and proclaim a baraka or blessing, a spoken word of blessing over you. When God speaks a word of blessing over you, what happens is blessing gets attached to you. Y'all are missing that. You're missing this. You might say, I don't need God to open his mouth and talk to me. I need a check. Oh, I need some money. Well, wait a minute. If you go back to Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Watch this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay, let me bring this into what we're talking about with your finances. Your finances are without form. There ain't no budget, no plan, no way of how you gonna get this solved. Your bank account is void and without money, and it looks dark. Now, what did God want to do with this situation? The Bible said, then God spoke something. He said, let there be light, and bam, darkness is gone. Let there be atmosphere and dry land, fruit trees, vegetables, and animals. He created everything, and then he made man in his image. Now, 6 days after it was without form, it was without void, and it was dark, we have this beautiful planet that is able to sustain complex life. And we all being fed and provided for with crops and coming out of the grounds and rivers running to make sure we got enough water to cover the crops. Everybody down to the insects got something to eat. With no money. Just because God spoke and said something. So don't say, I don't want God to open up his mouth and talk over me. Look, the world has us trained in this little rudimentary way of thinking that everything is about money. Money solves everything. No, God made all of this. This is why you can't bring anything to God as if he needs it. We have to honor him. Watch this. When God says he will open the windows of heaven and speak something, this is going to be so much more than just a financial solution. Watch this. Luke 6:47. Those of you who have been in Operation Solid Lives, you probably know this passage by heart. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. I'm about to show you the process. You want the process to release financial, spiritual, supernatural provision? Here you go. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them. Some of y'all be skipping that. You're like, I came and I heard, but you ain't do, and you're wondering why you ain't getting no spiritual revelation. He said, I'm going to show you who you're like. You're like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, that means you heard the word, but you didn't do it, is like a man who built the house on the earth without a foundation, against which when the stream, that means when all the problems come and they beat against you, it's going to fall. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, you need to know, because we've been studying, if you've been a part of Operation Solid Lives, we've been studying this passage. You need to know this just isn't spiritual only. This applies to your finances, too. If you will come to Jesus and hear what he is saying and do it, your financial life will be on a solid rock. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the market. It doesn't matter the conditions that you're in. You're going to be financially on solid ground. Here's the process. Come to Jesus, hear his sayings, and do them. Oh, Pastor, that sounds so simple. Well, I'm going to prove this to you. Think about the man who wrote that testimony. Somebody like, well, he got a $100,000 check. Yeah, but he came to Jesus. He heard tithe. He obeyed and he tithe. Come on, somebody. He did what God said, and God opened the window of heaven and said, try me and watch me, and bam, God moved. A check didn't just show up in the mail. Instruction came, and God spoke, and he did it, and then the supernatural happened. If you don't understand this, you're gonna keep checking your mailbox every day and wonder why you're getting disappointed. God says, come hear and do. Come to me. Hear the word. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Then go do it, and you will be supernaturally provided for. Now, let me show you this in one principle. I'm going to give you one illustration. Ooh, I should give you 50, and I'll say the rest for next week. I ain't going to finish. I knew I wasn't going to finish. Next week, we're going to be back on this. Watch this. We're talking about the wealthiest man that ever lived, Solomon. Solomon, watch this. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 5. Says, now the bronze altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord. Solomon and the assembly sought him there. Verse 6. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Somebody say 1,000? That means he killed 1,000 animals. How long does it take to kill 1,000 animals? He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. That's a lot. I know you say, look, I can't do this. This is hard. Pastor, things are really tight right now. Well, let me tell you something. If things are tight, don't start tightening the belt on God. Tighten the belt on everything else. Don't treat God like he's some bill you got to pay. God is not a bill you got to pay. He is your provider. God is the one who will unlock all of this for you. Don't start dishonoring God because stuff is tight. Tighten up everything else. Don't tighten up him. He's the source, because he can say, I'm taking all that check. So Solomon's like, I'm going to offer 1,000 burnt offerings to God. And let me tell you what God did. Watch this, verse 7. On that night, so Solomon finishes the 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, God shows up. And he says to Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? He gives the offering, and God shows up and says, what you want? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, I've heard God tell me that. God has spoken that to me many times. And every time he asks me what I want, I got to think about it. Because I know whatever I ask for, he's going to give me. I'm telling you, several times, at least 6 times in my life, I have heard God. Now, you're not saying it's an audible voice, but I have heard a voice that I sense was the Lord that says, what you want, girl? Now, sometimes it takes me 4 months to answer. But every time I responded, I'm going to tell you, God has provided exceedingly and abundantly above that which I told him I wanted. Watch this. He said, what do you want? He's like, try me now in this. I showed up. Watch this, verse 8. Solomon said, look, you've shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in this place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and the multitude. Watch what he asked for. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? When Solomon could ask for anything in the world, he could ask for wealth, he could ask for fame, he could ask for long life. But you know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom. He said, give me a word from you. When God says, what do you want? Do you ask him for wisdom? Where did he learn? I asked the question, how does Solomon know to ask for wisdom? I mean, who the heck tells you, if somebody come to you and that you know, if Bill Gates come to you and be like, what you want? You are not asking for wisdom. You're like, I'm going to need a check for. Come on. I was like, how did Solomon know to ask for this? The Bible says Solomon knew how to ask this because his daddy taught him to ask for it. His father was David. And David taught him, how do you know that? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 through 5, he says, this is Solomon writing. Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs, and he's writing this. He says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Look, Solomon's father told him, son, get wisdom. get understanding, and don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. David told Solomon, get wisdom. It's the most important thing. You trying to release supernatural provision, you need to get wisdom from God. Y'all don't like this. I'm going to prove to you next week. I'm going to pause it right here. But I'm going to prove to you this principle next week. So I want you to hear the principle now. You are looking for money, and God is trying to release a word. If you get a word and do the word, supernaturally, God will do some amazing stuff. Stop asking him for just money and start asking him for a word. Stop seeking his hand and start seeking his face, and you're going to start to see supernatural provision happen. Now, I'm going to have to pause it right here because this is just enough. Next week, I'm going to prove this to you in scripture 15 times over, but you are going to see this process so much that when you leave next week, you're going to say, ain't no way in the world I cannot get blessed supernaturally. There's no way in the world I cannot leave the supernatural provision of God on my life because the process is I got to come here and do. Okay, I didn't prove my point yet because we got to stop. Y'all get this? So what do you got to do? You got to get wisdom. You got to seek his face. You need to obey him. Some of y'all, well, can I get wisdom and not tithe? No, you can't do that because you're not obeying. The word that's been released in this house is if you want to have the window of heaven open up over you where God speaks a blessing that attaches to you, you must give all the tithe and your offering. You can't skip that process and tell me, well, Jesus, here I am. I'm coming to you. And he's like, well, do what I last told you to do. No, I need a new word. There is no new word. Do that word, and then he'll give you the next word. All right, come on, everybody, stand to your feet. I didn't get where I wanted to, but, boy, this is good stuff. Well, look. Solomon asked for wisdom. I'll fast forward the conclusion and pick it back up here next week. But the conclusion to Solomon's story is, he says, Solomon, because that was in your heart, and because you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may judge my people over whom I made you king. He says, look, I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge. Somebody say, and. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge, and, which means I'm giving you more. And I'm also going to give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you. God, if you seek his wisdom, can release stuff in you. And it could be weirdest things. It could be things like just give your tithe. It could be things like go ask somebody for this information. I don't know what it is. Your job is to hear his voice and know. And do. And if you do, supernatural provision will be released over your life. Now, how many of you say, I need supernatural provision in my life? Lift your hands. Come on. Now say this, Jesus, I'm ready to come to you, to hear what you say, and to do it. Now, God, as I obey you, as I give you all the tithe and my offerings, I pray that you would open the window of heaven and pour out over me such blessing that I will not have room enough to receive it. Come on and begin to praise the Lord and just thank him. I thank you, Lord, for releasing supernatural provision. I thank you, Lord, for every person, oh God, who needs supernatural provision. I thank you that you are ready, willing, and able to speak a word to show them what to do to get that in their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you're here today and you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus Christ, come on up. Our prayer team is coming up. Because let me tell you something. This promise is for those who are in covenant with God.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.